this opportunity. I do very much appreciate it. And I had a few people come up to me today and say, are you nervous? Like, am I breathing? Of course, no, but I'm also very excited. And the same people who asked me if I was nervous also told me that they'd be praying for me. So I do very much appreciate that. I appreciate a church. I appreciate you folks standing behind me and your preacher and our preacher and all the other preachers that will be here this week. And as Pastor has mentioned, I finished my Bible college training. I graduated in May of 2019 from New England Baptist College under the leadership of Pastor Jim Townsley. Many of you know him. And I'm very thankful for him and his teaching. And had him teach a couple of the classes I was in, and that was a blessing. Open up your Bible, if you would, with me tonight to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. I'll give you a couple seconds to find that. Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading throughout the whole chapter, throughout the message, but for the first, and I'll be reading some verses, preaching, So that's why don't we stand for the first couple verses. If you stand with me to Galatians chapter 1, read the first couple verses, 1-3. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. In verse 5, to him to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this very first verse of Galatians chapter 1, Paul states, Paul, an apostle. And before I get into the verse, I'll say that I guess the title of the message, to give it a title, would be The Call of Christ. The Call of Christ. And the first point we're going to look at is the realization of Calvary. Every one of us who, of course, God does have a purpose for everyone here. We're all called to different areas and different tasks. Some men specifically called, and women called to full-time ministry. Some men specifically called to preach, to pastor, to be a missionary. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. So we're going to talk about this tonight. And really, the first thing the premise of the call of Christ is what he did on Calvary. That is why we do what we do. That's why he calls us. That's why we are who we are. So Paul realizes, he has a realization of Calvary. And he says, Paul, an apostle. And the first thing he states is what he is. I am an apostle. He is stating that he is what God created him to be. This is who I am. This is what how I identify. This is what I have given my life to. And he says very directly, not of men, neither by men. No man has given me the message that I preach. No man has commissioned me to be an apostle to preach. And he specifically notes it is of Jesus Christ and him alone. And we read through verse number 5, and we noticed 3 times in the first 4 verses, he mentions Jesus and God the Father. Mentioned in verse number 1, by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse number 3, from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, who gave himself, that's Jesus, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. He mentions Jesus Christ and God the Father 3 times in these verses. And really, what verse 4 says, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's it. That's the gospel. That's he's saying that this, I am an apostle, and this is why. This is, he's stating, this is the one who made me an apostle. This is why I am an apostle. And this is my message as an apostle, that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world. And every day, and we see this throughout all of his writings, every day he lived in the light of that.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Right. If we did that, wow.
Yep. Right.
Let me just mention that Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world, it's why we, again, why we are what we are. It's why we do what we do. It's the only way possible for us to, in him we move and breathe and have our being. And I don't know about you, maybe I'm going to, you know, confession is good for the soul. Confess a little bit. Sometimes the week-to-week service, week-to-week, sometimes it can get a little mundane if our heart's not in it, right? Sometimes, you know, we think, here, going to church again, going to teach Sunday school again, going to sing in choir again, and we just kind of do it because it's what we do. It's what we're supposed to do, so to speak. Well, when we come to the realization that the atonement of Jesus Christ and dying in our place is the reason that we are even alive, the reason that we are a Christian, then the service of the Lord is no longer mundane,
yes,
but it becomes joyous. And we want to do it now. We have a new joy and a new longing to serve the Lord. It's why we make bus visits week to week. Ask the same kids, are you coming on the bus tomorrow? Try to if we can, talk with the parents. It's why we have the bus ministry. It's why we have junior church. It's why, you name it, any ministry, any aspect of the church, that's why. And I don't know everyone who's here tonight. Maybe there could be a few folks, maybe you're visitors, maybe you're new to church, and maybe you came because somebody invited you and gave you a card and invited you to the service. I don't know. But let me tell you lovingly, maybe you don't know it yet, but the only reason why you're here tonight, what got you here tonight, is that Jesus Christ died for your sins to deliver you from this present evil world. And now in the light of that, Paul says that is it. That is why I am what I am. In verse 6 through 9, you see his amazement, his concern. In 6 through 9, he says, based on this is Jesus Christ, who gave himself us to deliver us from this present world, God raised from the dead, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Wow.
Right. Good.
What he's saying is, how could there be anything else? Do you understand this reality of what, I don't know how to say it any other way, just the reality of what Jesus Christ did for us. How could there be anything else? And this kind of moves us into our second point, the realization, not only the realization of Calvary, but now the realization of the call. Verse 10 through 12, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And actually, we'll come back, but if you look over at verse 17 and 18, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." Just verse 18, "Then after 3 years I went up." So it seems I don't know necessarily, know everything he did in these 3 years, but I've heard some preachers refer to this as the school of the Holy Ghost, right? Where he just got with God and God put the message in him, and he's testifying in 12 and 13. I didn't receive this of man. This is not just another man's doctrine. This is just not a, this isn't just a cult or just something I want you to follow me because I said it. I'm telling you this because I know I got it from the Lord.
Right.
He's saying this is just something that God put in me. And all Paul can do really is just give his testimony. That's all I can do is just this is what God did for me. And that's what he does in the next few verses. Verses 13 on says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the thing which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed." Talk about God changing a life, huh? "And they glorified God in me." Now, as I mentioned, God has a purpose for every living soul, a calling to something. Now, it may not necessarily be ministry, and that's okay. We need Christian pizza restaurant owners, amen? We need Christian lawn care workers. We need Christian doctors. We need Christian lawyers. We need Christian politicians, amen? And so God has a purpose for each and every one of you. And each and every one of us, but specifically, God has a calling. God has a calling for many men to preach the gospel. And like Paul, if you have had this call, you know it. If God puts this in you, you know it. And you know it's just something that God put in you. And it's all you know to do. It's all you long to do. And when you don't do it, you're kind of like Jeremiah. It says, with a fire shut up in your bones.
Right. Yeah.
I've got to preach.
Yeah. Come on now. Hey.
And there's sometimes when it's difficult, like Paul, to convince others of your message. Because it's so real to you. It's what's inside of you. And you've got to deliver this from God to the people. Sometimes it's difficult to get people to understand it, and that's why he's having trouble with his church. I marvel that you're so soon removed. And the best thing he can do is give his testimony. Sometimes that's the best thing we can do. Say, listen, hey, this is just what God did for me. I'm just the messenger, and I know this is real because it came from the Lord. And in verse 13 through 16, as we read, let's read it again real quick. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And Paul recognizes in these verses the basis for his calling. And it's nothing else but God's grace.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Right.
God called him from the womb before he was even saved. God called him full well knowing what he would become. Full well knowing the sin he would commit, the persecution he would commit. God had this plan for him. God called him full well knowing how long it would take him before he came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But God separated him from his mother's womb. Meaning, if God knew that and still chose, I'm going to use Paul, I'm going to change his life, I don't know what other proof you need. It's just the grace of God. It was not based on any merit that Paul earned the position or was commissioned by anybody or that he lived a good life. He said, I was exceeding zealous above many of my equals in my own religion, but it wasn't right. And he recognizes it's just God's grace. And when we all remember that, and I know for myself, and I'm sure there's probably those in here who know God has called them to preach, and the men who God has called them to preach full time and be used of Him in full time Christian service, more than likely, looking back, you can remember when you first recognized that call, when you first heard it. And really, God had this plan in place long before we ever knew it. We only recognize the call, really, and we say, at age such and such, God called me to preach, and there's nothing wrong with saying it like that. But really, I think, according to the Bible, God called you when you were in your mother's womb, and we, at a certain age, we first heard the call, we first recognized it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
See, God knew full well the sinners that we would become and how long it would take us to get saved. But He just called us out of His grace.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Amen.
And like Paul, if I could just take a couple minutes and just give my testimony. I'll try to keep it brief because I tend to focus on the little details sometimes and I could go very long. But I'll try to spare you a little detail. But just my testimony, and I'm no Apostle Paul, obviously, let me just say this. Sometimes we may say, I wish I could be like that Bible character. I wish I could be like David or Joseph or Daniel or Paul. I wish I could be like them. And really, we are, because we're human.
Right.
They were just human, too. They were just men that God used.
Right.
And God can do the same thing for any one of us. So I can look back and I remember the first time that I started to feel like maybe God was calling me to preach. It was at a missions conference when I was 14 years old. Didn't really know what to do with that. Kind of felt it throughout the next couple of years at teen camp when I was 18 or so. So that's what I planned on doing, was following that calling, just going full guns. I told my dad about it, told my church about it, and so I began to train for ministry. My pastor began giving me more opportunities to serve in church, and I went to Bible college, and I know for a fact that God worked in my life, and many of you can attest to this as well. God worked in my life before I was even saved, and I didn't realize at the time, because let me just back up. I thought I was saved. I made professions of faith as a young child. Didn't really fully understand it. But I knew the story because I heard it in church every week. Jesus died for our sins. And so if we tell Him we're sorry, He'll forgive us and we can go to heaven. I knew God died for everybody. But I had never really made it personal.
Yeah.
Understood that it was for me.
Good.
And so many times over the years when, as far as salvation goes, so many times over the years when we would have to give a testimony of our salvation, whether it was in church or Bible college, I kind of made up a date in my head that I thought I might have got saved on. But every time I gave that testimony, even in Bible college, I was convicted. I knew something was wrong. I knew something wasn't right, but I didn't know what. But throughout the years, I knew God, and I knew later after I got saved, God was working in my heart, drawing me to Himself. And I'm in Bible college, been in Bible college for a total of 5 years, and a week before graduation, through a set of circumstances, God using this person in this situation and that person. And I realized I was not saved. A week before graduating Bible college, planning for the ministry, I was not saved. And, you know, it's God has no coincidence, right? And I love how today happens to be May 7th, 2023, 4 years to the day since I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just sitting, got under conviction. I was working at a Panera Bread restaurant, and I'm struggling with this conviction, and I just went on break, and I said, Lord, if I'm not saved, you got to show me. I read some scripture. God said, this is what you need. I just said, Lord, save me. Yeah. Sorry, I just get emotional. But, and so now I am saved, right? And I'm wondering, what do I do now? You know, I've been planning for 5 years for the ministry. Am I really called to the ministry? Am I, you know, and I kind of had to spend several months growing and learning some things. And that was in May of 2019. And by October of 2019, in a missions conference, God confirmed it, said, yes, this is my plan for you. And I'm very, very thankful for that. And I know, because God had this plan for me before I was even born. Amen. Knowing full well how long it would take me to accept Him as my Savior. It's only the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
Good.
So last we see, excuse me, after the realization of Calvary, this is why we are what we are, why we do what we do, the realization of the call. The realization of the responsibility.
Wow. Man.
And I don't know if that may bug some people out because it's not alliterated, but I don't know. Couldn't find another C word, and so not so focused on alliteration, but it's okay. But in all seriousness, the realization of the responsibility.
You're right, sir. That's right.
If you could just turn back with me really quick to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Wow, I'm flipping way past Genesis 18. And I had it marked, too. Genesis chapter 18. I'll give you another second. I still hear some pages turning, and that's okay. Genesis chapter 18. This is when the angel of the Lord came and He met with Abraham, and just before he was preparing, he was ready to go destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says in verse 17, "And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him.'" Now, many times, you know, we say something to the effect of God knows the future. God knows the plans he has for me. And typically we say these kind of things and read verses that are along those lines when we might be going through a trial or a struggle or a tribulation. And God knows the future. God knows tomorrow. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, which is fantastic. And God gives us those scriptures for that purpose, to encourage us in those times. But just on that one thought, God knows my future. He does. But you ever stop and think, what is it that he knows? Wow. Right?
Yep.
What is it that he knows? And God says of Abraham, I know him.
Yeah.
That he will command his children after him and raise them in the things of God. That the Lord may to do justice and judgment. God says, I know that about Abraham. Is that what God knows about me?
It's good.
Good preacher.
I hope so.
Good.
As Brother Max talked about, David messed up. Thankfully, David got back up, right? But any one of us, we're not above temptation. We're not above Satan's attacks. But God knows, you know, that's why God gave us His Word. God gave us His Spirit. God gives us His armor. But is this what God knows about me? You know, somebody asked, I heard that somebody asked Daniel Webster back in the 1800s. Somebody asked him, what's the most awesome, biggest thought you've ever had, you've ever thought on? And he said something to the effect of, the most awesome, the most terrible, terrifying, amazing thought I have ever had is my personal accountability to God one day.
Wow. Wow.
God knows what's going to happen, but in all reality, it's up to me to make it happen. Another preacher I heard say, the only one who can change God's mind about me is me. Wow. Not that we determine what God does, but God answers faithfulness. God answers unfaithfulness. All, and obviously, you know, we are nothing in ourselves. We're without the grace of God, we can't do it. All we can do is say, Lord, I understand what you did for me on Calvary. And I understand your purpose for my life. And I recognize that I cannot do it by myself. So I need you to help me. But I'm here to do it. Let's say a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you just for this opportunity to preach the message. I've done my best just to deliver the words that you've laid on my heart. And I trust that you would use it. I know you've used this message in my own heart. And I ask that you just use it in all the hearts of the people here today and this week, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.